I have to say that this is a special episode in a way because, Chris Clough, I see you're not wearing a hat. Mm-hmm. You're not wearing a sweater.
I know.
And behind you looks different. What's going on here, dude?
I'm at the Ontario EdTech Summit. So it's at, I think it's Jacob Hespler Secondary School. And so pre-conference time, just tried to find a quiet spot to hall squat. Like I was telling you, like, you know, I'm now the kid that we see all the time sitting in the hallway down at the end on a laptop. Most times you're just like, like they're just avoiding stuff, but maybe they actually are socializing. Maybe they are communicating and, you know, getting connected. Maybe they're doing a podcast. I'll have to raise my expectations, right?
There you go. Or maybe they're doing something like this.
Yeah. And I mean, as far as the hat goes, I'm sitting on my toque because the floor is just flat and makes your butt sore. So
before I go deep into like what you're doing there and how things are going, right behind you to the left, you don't need to look, but on the board is a minion. So it's kind of funny that I don't know why it makes me laugh, but there's a minion right up
there. I can see it up there. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah,
your little buddy.
No marketing whatsoever. No marketing whatsoever.
Okay, so how's the summit going? Today's Sunday, so you and I are doing the podcast a day later than usual, but same time, you're actually in Kitchener, so you're like half an hour away from me, which is kind of weird. But anyway, how's the summit going?
It's good. So I went to a summit back in September, and that was my first summit. I'd never been to, you know, I'd gone to other ed tech camps like that were put on by school boards, districts, but I hadn't been to, I guess this is one of the branded ones, right? The ed tech summit. And it was the opportunity to come to this one came out of me having a conversation with Emily Fitzpatrick, who's one of the coordinators for Ontario EdTech. So, you know, it's kind of cool to be on that arc where my mindset when I went to the one back in September, I thought to myself, like, I enjoyed the sessions. I enjoy meeting up with people. It's a really friendly learning environment. You feel good about kind of hanging out on a weekend and doing this stuff. And on top of that, I had the thought, like, if I'm going to come back to one of these, I'm going to share the stuff that I'm doing and, you know, the podcasting stuff. So when the conversation to talk to Emily came up, it was at the tail end when we were in our off ramp, she said, you know, by the way, would you be interested? And those are always, they're always sort of tantalizing moments because it harmonized well what my mindset was because I wasn't sure. I knew I wasn't going to come back and just visit a summit. I knew that I wanted to somehow contribute or participate at a deeper level. So to that end, I'm really glad to be able to, you know, beginning of the school year, kind of end of the school year to be able to do this. And as far as the summit goes, it's been interesting. It's definitely bigger feeling than the one back in September that I went to. The feel of it is very similar. They have the sort of the brand kind of locked down. You kind of know as you're walking up how you're going to be greeted, and you know you're going to get you're going to be able to put your name tag on, and they have the stickers and markers and all that kind of stuff. And then you have to move through the marketplace where, you know, Pear Deck and Microsoft and Flipgrid is, and then you make it to the snacks. So it's familiar. Like I said, the brand of this is good. The sessions have been interesting. It's funny. I was talking with Will Gourley and Tina Zita yesterday, and we never made it to one of the sessions because we just sat in the cafeteria and had a conversation. And you start to realize that at some point when the tech isn't all new, so, you know, you sort of are kind of, you're an active user of Classroom and you're kind of cool with Doc Appender and you kind of see the robots and Ozbots and all that. And you realize that getting to some of those conversations, like the campsites. So you sort of get to around that fire and you get a topic. I think that it's unfortunate in some ways that there's a cost to that. Like you have to pay a ticket price to get to that conversation, but it's very much, I think, what also goes on at ed camps where you just get this opportunity to kind of finally talk about a topic that is of high interest to you. Session yesterday I made it to was, they were a group from Thunder Bay. Mike Filippetti and some of his students were coding Ojibwe keyboards, which was really cool. Listen to their process. They're starting from zero experience whatsoever, finding a problem and just kind of running with it. I went to, well, and then I did my session, and then I went to another session on Google Classroom, which was interesting because I'm a user. And I think out of any of the Google tools, that's the one that I'm always on the fence of deciding. I feel like I'm constantly having to make the most decisions around Google Classroom. Like what I'm going to do, how I'm going to use it, how I'm going to reframe it, all this kind of stuff. So it was good. And then last night got to hang out. We went out for some sushi and just did some smack talking, which maybe we can land on a little bit. One of those interesting, last week or 2 weeks ago, I think we talked about, you know, where do you, you know, if it weren't for yours and my on and off ramp here where we kind of meet on the weekly, I think we kind of extended that as a think about to other people that listen to the podcast. Like, where do you get that space where you feel like you can kind of close the door and just kind of like, you know, just kind of get that sigh out. So overall, a good one. A good one. I can't stay for the full day today. Life is busy back home. So I'm here for the morning and then I'll be busting out at noon. So I'm going to make it to one more session this morning. I'm trying to decide what that'll be. But a good experience. Definitely a good experience.
A couple of things. The first one is it's important for people to know that teachers do all kinds of PD on their own all the time. And this is one of the things that you're choosing to do. You're spending a day and a half, basically your whole weekend at a summit where you're presenting and you're connecting with people. So you're building your professional learning network. You're learning new things, or you're just sharing what you know to help other people learn new things. That's the first thing. That's important. That happens. The second thing is, I hear what you're saying about sitting down with people and not making it to a session, because there are some sessions that are just wrapped around something that you already kind of deal with. And it's not that you won't learn anything new. It's that, are you really just going to go and sit for 50 to 60 minutes and take away from a conversation that you could be having with some really cool people in your PLN that you never get to see face to face? I get that. It makes me a little bit more aware that there's all kinds of people at these things. There's people like you who understand certain tools, and so you don't really need to go and learn more about those tools at that time. But there's a lot of people that I would say know nothing about those tools, mm-hmm. and for them, this experience is very eye-opening. And so there's both sides, right? Like the ed tech team people that are running it, a lot of them become skilled in a lot of these things because they have to present it and they have to talk about it. And so I can imagine for them what it might be like. But there's people that just, they'll go over and over and over again because they know they're going to pick something up that's new every time. Mm-hmm. I get that. There's all kinds of people. So it's good that someone like you can offer up some of your knowledge and experience and skills around podcasting. That's appreciated. It's a newer thing. And it's nice to know that the summits allows you to be able to talk about that. I know Will Gourley's probably talking about TED Ed.
Yep. Yeah. He's doing a session on it today. Yeah.
So like, even like, I don't know. I know that that's Will's thing. He's passionate about that, so he's going to share about that. This is just kind of funny, right? Like, you could name some people, and I could tell you probably what they're doing there, what they're presenting on, just because you just get to know what people's wheelhouses are, mm-hmm. and what they're comfortable with and what they're going to put out there. Uh-huh. Like, if I were there, I'd probably be talking about podcasting like you, or talking about making videos, or talking about the use of social media, things that I feel really confident about and that mm-hmm. I feel like I have something to offer.
Yeah. It's the soft vote or survey in the just before the keynote. Yet. No, I guess it was in the keynote space, is that there's a lot of first timers here. There's a lot. And there was also a remarkable number of individuals that have been to all six Ontario summits. So I didn't even know that there had been six, to be honest, but it was interesting to see there. But I would say proportionately, I'd say at least a third of the participants today are brand new, which is really cool because that means that, like, I tried to track back in my own learning to sort of arriving at something like this where tech is being shown or demonstrated and conversation is being offered and social connections are being made. And like, I tried to tap into that feeling of like, this is an adventure. Like, I don't even know what is that? What? Like, in that sort of just constant state of discovery, and you can see it, you know what it's like? You know, you remember when you might see it now when your kids were younger, right? And you knew that taking them to a certain place, you'd be carrying them back to the car, right? They're knocked out. They're totally knocked out. That was the sense that I got for some of the first timers, that, you know, just by the end of the day, they were just long, like you could see they were spent. They were just like, you know, and you have to sort of like, you know, get home. Hopefully they found a way to kind of land nicely on a couch and kind of chillax, because there's day two, right? So day twos, I mean, if everything just goes wide open on day one, day two is when you got to gather it, because you really do. You have to kind of like think about, oh yeah, you know, I think I originally wanted to go to that session, but then I sat and I talked with that guy and they were talking about they might do a side session or, you know, so you have to be, I think, a little bit more strategic on day two, especially if it's one of your first times here. I think second, if you're, you know, suddenly connected with something, you almost have to pursue it. Because three, if you don't have the wider network, like if this is your network and this is your seed point, you might not see these people. You might not find them again. So you're grabbing business cards and, oh yeah, are you on Twitter? And oh, you have a blog. Like, I see that often in these conferences, that on day two, people are just, they're ferocious. Like they somehow dig in. I only imagine, like, they're driving home from this and they're just like, hey, just waking up behind the wheel. I know I'll probably be like that. I mean, I'll be driving back home 2.5 hours this afternoon. So that was also part of my thing. Like, for me to stay right to the end and then drive, I'm snoozing at the wheel. So, but yeah, carrying your kids back to the car. That's what I was seeing a little bit at the end of the day yesterday.
It's so true. I think I've been to three of them, and every time the first time was a summit, a mini summit, like a boot camp or whatever they called it, mm-hmm. in Mississauga or somewhere around there. Scott Monahan, who I met face to face at this thing, he was the one that told me about it, and this was before my board kind of got into Google.
Yeah.
So. And at the time, it was called a GAF summit, and it was a Google boot camp, they called it. So me, a principal, a superintendent, and our IT consultant, we went, and we were there for one day. And on the drive home, we were blown away. We were just, our heads were ready to explode. So then when I went to the Ontario summit for the first time, felt the same way. My head was going to blow off. There was so much learning, so much connecting. It was such a rich experience and overwhelming. And then the second and third time didn't feel as full, because I was more focused on sharing, mm-hmm. right? So my energy was coming from standing in front of people and formally sharing something with them. So, I mean, anyway, it's a worthwhile experience for anybody who's not been.
Yep.
And it's worthwhile for people who have been. I just think it's neat that we're a little bit more than halfway through the school year now. We're coming to the end, right? We're in April. We have April, May, and June to go. And on a weekend in April, you're sitting doing professional learning on the weekend in Kitchener. And you're from Newmarket. So like you said, you've got to drive. You know, thumbs up to you and everybody else who got in their car and made a long trek. I know there are people there from Ottawa,
mm-hmm. who
made the trek, like Sarah Lalonde is there. So she obviously probably put a crew in her car and drove down.
I think Hélène Cormier.
The name sounds familiar, but
I don't know. I just sort of recently met online. She's here. I got to meet her. So, and I think she's Ottawa area as well. The
I know.
Go ahead.
Voice Ed Canada's there. So the father of internet educational radio. I've seen pictures of Stephen Hurley there as well.
Yep. It's it definitely, I think you and I talked about this. You spend a lot of time. Well, you actually said it far more. I think it was in reference to podcasting, but it was also professional dialogue saying that the online connections that we make, there's an impossibility to be able to build relationships as easily if you're hoping to always meet someone face to face. Like, you have to consider, can I build a rich, deep relationship with someone that we're, you know, doing like this, like a teleconferencing or communicating via blogs or even following someone's social media feeds? Like, how deep can you go? One of the interesting elements to this, and this is where I think you and I have taken a slight step through the screen, let's say, is also meeting people in real life that you never really thought. It's weird. You almost never, you build, I think if you're building the relationship authentically, you don't necessarily every single time say to yourself, geez, I just really wish I could meet this person in real life. I think you just embrace what's in front of you and say, this is our relationship. This is how we meet. This is how we talk. I like it. I feel like this person is a friend. And I think if you can kind of be in that space, when you make it to these landing points, like these summits, or you get outside your region and you meet someone that you've only ever talked to online, it feels pretty cool to meet people in real life when you've established the relationship. And I'm not saying, I mean, on one hand, there's the fanboy side of it. Like, you may have heard some EDU rock star that you want to make a connection with. That's kind of one style. And I'm talking more about where you feel like you've established something and then you get to meet that person in real life and then take that and roll it into the relationship. And it's sort of, I ask myself, you know, as I'm driving here this morning, what would make me come back to another summit? And, you know, meeting the people notwithstanding, that's amazing. But I also realize I want something more to draw me back. It would be difficult for me to come back and not present. I think I'm now kind of in that space where I accept that as part of myself. I can present to my class. I can present in my school. I can present to my board. I can present outside my board. You start sort of gathering these onion skins of comfort in speaking about your, whatever your teaching context is. But I was thinking that this morning, what would bring me back? To meet some more people, I guess. But there's a high likelihood that I may sit in the cafeteria and have conversation. And I guess that's a conference too, right? That's a conference too.
Okay, so I wanna add a layer to this, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Okay, so you're there at the EdTech Summit.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. Yesterday or the day before, I went to your Twitter feed,
mm-hmm.
and I saw that all the tweets were gone.
I know, eh?
The section that says like retweets or whatever, there's a section that says tweets. Here, I've got mine up. Let me just look. There's a section that says tweets and there's a section that says tweets and replies. So under tweets, there's nothing for you. Mm-hmm. And then under tweets and replies, there's some stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's a conversation between you and Paul McGuire. You know, he hits you up and he said, hey, how come you're not following me anymore? And then you respond with, I'm slowly leaving Twitter. So I'm just kind of making peace before I go, mm-hmm. cleaning things up. And it was interesting because I could probably imagine his perspective or his feelings at the time. Like, hey, you're just getting rolling. What do you mean you're leaving? Mm. So being at this conference, I suspect you're meeting people who are on Twitter or starting Twitter, but are you connecting with them on Twitter? Or are you just, like you said, you're just gathering URLs about where people's work lives online. And then that's where you'll go and connect with them if you need to. How's mm-hmm. that playing out?
Fine. It's a couple things. What's interesting, so Paul McGuire, I appreciated him reaching out. When I left Facebook, it took my mom 3 weeks before she connected with me and said, did you unfriend me? I don't see any of your stuff anymore. Like, Paul McGuire was like, snap. He was like that. I think he was like within an hour. He's like, yo, Clough, what's up? And I sort of track him back to that. And because on one hand, I'll take that as an authentic response. Like, Paul and I have had some great conversations. I think I've met him once in real life. Genuine connection. And it may be a perceptual thing. It's like, you know, what's going on? You're just getting rolling with this thing. It's always funny to sort of measure the inside outside. I'm getting initially in sort of thinking about it. I think I was aware of my own some sensitivity about being defensive about it and trying to articulate the why behind it. I find I'm a little bit more kind of neutral about exactly what you said. I'm sort of gathering the resources that I feel will help me learn at a deeper level. And I have come to accept that not everybody accepts that. They don't accept that. I said part of the conversation yesterday with Tina Zita and Will Gourley was, I'm dissatisfied with the idea that teaching and teacher conferencing is social media. I'm uncomfortable with that algorithm, and I'm looking to explore that without the social media. And I'm starting to use the word more the gathering of it. So drawing up the resources that I feel still allow me to collaborate, but not take it from the fire hose, because I feel this spread out nature to all my resources that I'm never spending any time in them. I'm just constantly wading through a bunch of things. And I think my learning will become better. I think the things that I write about learning will become better. And I think also the tools that I glean from people's learned experiences, not their 280 characters. And again, just for me, their learned experiences that they decide to go deeper into will improve my space. It'll sort of improve my thinking. And I go back to, you and I talked about this, that sort of cycle of apprenticeship. And you become a journey person and initially going in and gathering so much and meeting so many people and just the go, 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 go. I'm just not willing to do that anymore. And it has nothing to do with laziness. It really has more to do with, I think I can sort of get to the rigor in a different way. And I have to admit, me spending time with you on the weekends is a perfect example of moving away from what externally might be expected of a podcast, of a conversation, and going with an authentic version that from the inside out speaks to me. Like these meetings that you and I have, they speak to me. They fall exactly in what I would say is the center of my professional learning requirements. And I talked about, I think I told you about the ASL, the herd when I was taking the course. And I had this idea of arrive, there's the herd when I was learning and I was somewhere right in the middle. And as the learning kept on going forward, I felt myself moving to that sort of edge of the middle. And then all of a sudden I'm right here and the herd is still going forward. And then somehow I pop out the other side and it was around the week three, week four. I'm like, I'm done. Like, I can't learn like this. I think I've got to that space with using social media, really scrutinizing, am I and can I keep learning like this? And so there's a lot of people here that are posting and there's people that are sort of communicating with me on Twitter. I'm going to use it probably to the end of April, but I'm also, it's like, you know, in advance of moving out of your house, you're going to have a whole lot of stuff in boxes ahead of time. Because when the van pulls up, you got to be ready to put all that stuff in the van to go. Like there is no choice. I've made that deadline. I mean, it's a completely arbitrary deadline, but I've also put it upon myself to kind of be in a place with that process. So as I'm leaving the school year, I can start to include, I can firmly include other people's thoughts, blogs in my leaving of the school year so that I can take that. And dude, I will tell you, like, I always stayed sub 1,000 in my who I followed. I was always aware. I'm like, there's just no way. There's absolutely no way for me to follow 1,000 people and for me to find value. It's too much fire hose. But I really didn't have a sense of what it meant to follow 1,000 people until this past week, as I'm going through every single person and deciding whether or not I want to follow their blog and the decisions. And I think it was Tina said, because she's exploring some options in her career right now, her words is, you got to kill something. Like, there's something has to fall, something has to die on the vine. And I don't know if I was entirely aware of that until I went through this process about where I needed to actually trim, where I should have realized I should have been trimming. So, yeah.
You really go deep there. You make me think about, it's just neat to think about it from your perspective. You're basically saying, okay, this is how I'm taking it. You're just tired of the fire hose learning experience. It's too much in that it's not serving your needs as well as you would like. You're reflecting on what are your needs? How can you continue to, it's like you're on a learning path and the fire hose keeps knocking you in a certain way. And you're like, do I even want to be going that way?
Yeah.
No. So if you turn the fire hose off, then you continue to lead yourself down the path that you want to go down. Mm-hmm. That's how I'm kind of visualizing this. And I totally get it. It makes sense. It's a little bit refreshing in a way that it's like regaining control over your professional learning, your interests. And it's a way, like you said, for you to go deeper instead of, you know, a handful of characters. You can go to somebody's blog and you can really read and take in what they're talking about. It's kind of like you're cutting out the middleman, because really, for example, Twitter is a place where people post links to blog posts and stuff all the time. Does it work? I don't know. Who knows? For me, it's another way to show that I have something to offer, right? Like, it's another, some people like getting hit by the fire hose, and so that's where they're going to find my blog. Mm-hmm. They're not going to meet me at an Ontario summit because I'm not going, right? So they're just not going to, we're not going to have that face-to-face where I can tell them about my blog and then they can go and check it out. So, dude, I get it.
I want to add one more thing in there, and it was something that my colleague, Pam, at Pam Sheena on Twitter, when she was asking me, when she first met me, she was not an active Twitter user. So a year and a half ago, you know, I was already in motion with it. And in trying to articulate the why behind my use, I landed on the reaching out professionally in the way that I was doing. Every step that I made in using social media for social professional. I mean, I think using social media, for me, it's funny, using social media for friendships and such, I've always been more of a texter than like a sharer that space. Like it never fit perfectly for me, let's say. But when I was talking to her about using for professional ends, I said, you know, I always try to use it with the intent of meeting the person in real life. And I said, by having that type of constraint on my usage, and even with that constraint, for me, it became unmanageable. But with that sort of constraint on my usage, it really changed how I perceived who was on the end of every single post I posted. If it was specific, a DM, entirely aware of the relationship. If I'm just posting to share, I was constantly aware of the scope of who might be receiving the things that I was saying. And in saying to her, and she's like, she had no concept of that sort of how wide that lens gets when people are following and retweeting and resharing. But bringing it back to her, saying that if your intent in social media is to really build relationships, what's your number? like, what is your number that you would be reasonably confident that you're actually building relationships? And when I came back to that recently, I thought, I'm now in a space where I need to go. And you said, you know, you may not come to an ed tech conference like this. For me, I say, okay, what other spaces do I need to go to now? And this kind of goes hands in hand with doing the podcast as well. Like, there's a whole lot that I've learned in my podcast that I actively try and bring back to local, right? You go sort of hunting, gathering, and bring it back and try and create better change locally. That'll happen more when I leave my current context, when I get into a larger space where I can activate with a larger, broader staff. My context right now is very small, and the interaction that I have, my staff is very small. Creating change there based on what I found, but I'm also looking forward to making it back out of this very, very dense silo that I'm in of connectivity and letting that diffuse out into a larger space and see what those relationships look like. So I'm still using it to the end of April, but I'm using it in a way where I really do feel like I've turned off all notifications. Like, I have no notifications coming to me anymore. And that includes even on my messages. Like, the only time the time that I have is what I'm going to use. I'm not going to let the things take my time from me. So Twitter notifications have been turned off. If I go to Twitter, it's because I'm going there, not because it's drawing me towards it. So I'm liking this idea more and more of going to spaces where I can interact with people and share the ideas and skip a session because we're going to land at a bench, and still being informed about what they're working on because their posts are rich and are, you know, there's more than 140 characters there, and I can take 2 or 3 days to kind of digest it. So, but not everybody's hip to it. Not everyone's hip to it.
The whole thing is still, so you're, is Twitter going to be gone for you as of the end of April?
Likely. I danced with the idea of keeping it as keeping it as a way to promote my writing. And then I said to myself, quite honest, I said, that's the addiction talking. So, because, you know, as far as the writing goes, I'm writing for me. Mm-hmm. I'm not writing for an audience. I have to accept that. I write for me. And if someone finds it, cool. I'm still going to keep writing. Like, I don't have a method. It's funny. I don't have a method to publish. I don't have an iBook deal in my future. I don't have a, you know, hope that I'm going to be asked to come to California and speak on a topic. And with that in mind, kind of accepting that about my practice, I don't know if I just don't feel the compulsion to keep Twitter to amplify that. I'm just going to keep writing. Someone picks it up, someone checks it out. I'll probably, you know, include it now in my in a tagline somewhere that I have a blog. You're more than welcome to go. But I don't know if I'm going to sort of be on the wheel anymore of that personal amplification of what, because it gets a little too close to, like, I don't seeing myself as a brand. And I don't, you know, we've had conversations about that before too. And I'm not so deep into that. I'm just not prepared to sort of build that type of thing anymore. My toque on my butt. Okay, I'm better. Whew.
Okay, so far in this episode, we've talked about basically the Ontario Summit, sharing, learning, growing PLN.
Yep.
We've talked about your position on leaving Twitter again. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling it's going to continue on because the de-evolution of social media in your professional and personal experience is an interesting topic. What's next, dude? When we stop today's episode, what's going to happen? You're going to get up and go somewhere, or are you going to find somebody to talk to? What's going to happen?
So, yeah. Today they're doing, I think it's at 8:30. So they're having a, what do they call it? Some sort of a wellness. Well, the Ignite talks are this morning. So they have the Ignite talks. They're doing like I can see just to my left here. I'll show you. So just down the hallway there. So that's the main entrance down there. Jonathan So was just hanging around there. Michelle Armstrong, Emily Fitzpatrick, some of the other presenters are all kind of milling around down there. So after that, there's a session. I think there's a session. I have to reread the schedule. There was a session that caught my attention. I just forget the title of it, but isn't that funny, eh? It's I have a sense of something that I was, yeah, I totally want to do that. It didn't make it in. I just know that it's there. I put a star beside it. And then I'm doing my session during the, what would be the session two today. I'll do a quick, you know, I'll grab a, I think they're probably having wraps for lunch, and then I'll hit the road and drive back. And then it's, you know, everything that was in some ways on pause at home, I go back into parenting as soon as I get home. Laundry, groceries. So, I got to meet Jason Trin. Yeah, he was out last night. He was talking a little bit about his innovator project. Who else did I get to meet? Dave Carruthers. Got to meet him. Doug Peterson. Sorry, I got to meet him. Sandra Chow. Got to meet Sandra Chow. Hadn't met her before. So there was a few people that it was cool to make the face-to-face. I would say, like, these are just people that I've had. It's those individuals that you've have always been a voice, that sort of like voice on the other end. So I'm hoping to make some face-to-faces before we go. And
very good, very good.
Yeah. Just to absorb. I got to be honest, just to absorb. Yeah.
So before, okay, so I don't want to, I know I recognize and respectful of your time. I appreciate you doing this kind of cool experiment, having you, who'd you just wave to? Who'd
I
you
don't
wave
know.
To? Oh,
it's just someone walking by. Do you want to meet them?
No, I just
do you want to be on a podcast?
Sure, why not?
So this is just a fellow. Okay. Do you want to give your name?
At sure. All? I'm Jeanette Bowden. I'm a teacher with the Waterloo Region District School Board.
Have you ever met Roland before?
I've never met Roland. Hi, Roland.
So here, Roland, I'm just gonna. Do you want me to pop off the headphones for a sec?
Whatever's good with you, man.
So I'm actually presenting today.
Okay. Awesome.
On podcasting.
Yes.
Roland and I have a history of podcasting. Okay. He was in a lot of ways a mentor for my podcasting efforts. He has one, Roland Shidiak Connects, and he goes kind of North American style. Like, he has that. I do one, Chasing Squirrels Education. We decide to do a side hustle, and we generally meet week to week.
Yes.
And we just kind of debrief.
Oh, debrief. Awesome.
You'd say debrief.
Talk about the week.
So his context is elementary, mine's secondary.
Oh,
I'm
perfect.
From York Region.
Okay.
So
yes.
I'm here today at the EdTech.
That's
so
great.
Roland, did you want to throw down a question? Have you been to an EdTech before?
I have. This is my fourth.
Oh.
Do you want to throw anything down? She's kind of in the sweet spot between. This is only my second. How many did you say you did?
Three.
So he's been to three.
Awesome. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Are you presenting?
I'm not presenting here, no.
Have you presented?
I present at Reading for the Love of It and the Celebrating Linguistic Diversity Conference.
Oh, cool. Okay, ask her if next year she'll present at the summit.
I would. There we go. Yeah, I'd present wherever somebody wants to hear my little passion project.
Amazing.
Yes.
How's your head feeling today?
Oh, it's like overwhelmed. You can barely sleep after a summit. I went home and sat on the couch with my tech until 9 at night. I sent out all my stuff to all my people in my schools, and so this morning I came early so I could ask my questions that I had, and I'm raring to go.
You want to know something?
What?
Roland, this is funny. This is actually, isn't this perfect how this works out, right? So Roland and I have been talking since September, like I said, weekly.
Okay. Yes.
And we've never had a guest.
It's
funny.
Fantastic.
And it's funny because we talked about, well, other people have said, hey, can we be a guest on there? And we were like, we're okay. We're talking. And it's funny just as it happens. I like what you said about the couch. That's exactly like what you were talking about.
Okay.
I said yesterday when I was leaving, I had this sense of, you know, our own children after one of those busy days at Wonderland or whatever. Like, I just saw it on some of the participants' faces. Like, I should be carrying them out to the car. Like, they're sleeping on my shoulder.
I wasn't sure how much Advil I should pack for today.
Yeah, I didn't pack any.
I didn't
so
either.
I'm gonna come find you.
Well, I'm not sure that I have any in my bag either. I
had that moment yesterday.
I want to say something else, if that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell us Do you have a blog? Are you on Twitter?
You know what? That's one of the things I need to do, because the presentations that I do are all about, I'm working with kids that speak different languages. So we use Google Slides and we write little books and they put it into their language, and their family members, no matter where in the world they are, can contribute and edit and add things to it. So I do have a spot where people can find out how to make the books themselves, because that's what I present. But the real big part of it is the actual process of making the books. That's what I call changing lives, as the parents network with each other. So here's my little, here we go. Can I get it there?
Yeah.
There we go. Creating books, and that's where you can find me, and the instructions on how to use Google Slides to create them.
That's cool.
And our audience is actually either high school students that don't know English yet, because we're trying to create simple books with pattern sentences that actually look like a high school kid might want to read it. But it's also for our primary kids in the elementary school doing home reading. So yeah, it's been pretty cool.
I think I actually saw you in the session yesterday for the Ojibwe.
Oh yes, keyboards. You did.
I was just in. That's right, because I saw your books come out. I'm like, that's a cool extension of that.
Yeah.
Okay, this is really cool, because as I'm talking to you two, I'm on Twitter, and earlier Chris mentioned Tina Zita, an Ontario teacher that's part of our professional learning network. And what I did was I went to her Twitter page, and as I was flipping through her tweets, I saw your books.
That is so cool.
And now I'm talking to you. We're talking to you. So that's pretty amazing. And thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing your link with us, because now we can share that with anybody else who's interested.
Definitely.
It's cool. And I'll say to you, so our podcast is called Decoded.
Okay.
It is on iTunes.
Okay.
It can be found that way. So
perfect. I'll be looking you guys up.
That's cool.
Well, thanks so much for letting me stop in.
Thanks for being our first guest.
Hey, that's awesome.
I like how that worked out. Did. Enjoy the rest of the conference.
Yes, you too. Bye, guys.
Wow, that was cool, Chris. See, that's the feel of those summits, right? Like, I thought when you were waving, you saw somebody you knew, and you're just saying, "Hey, how are you?" And they're being respectful.
New person, yeah.
Wow, that's the power of these things, though. Everybody there is relatively friendly. People want to connect. People want to learn. That's exactly what the feel is like. I can't believe she was talking about what we were talking about—the feeling of that. That high, right?
Yeah. That was a cool project she's got too. That's interesting. And it's interesting, the synchronicity. Yesterday, when I went to that session on the Ojibwe keyboard, I saw her sitting in front of me, and she was sitting with Tina Zita and Will Gurley. And she was showing them the books, and he was talking about what a wonderful tool that is for the kids. And I get it. I've seen that use of Google Slides before, and it is like, you don't need a crazy book creator app. You can do it with Google Slides. And she had a bunch of them. They were all in native languages for different cultures. Like, they're fantastic. She showed a bunch. So that was a cool moment. There we go. We went remote.
And we had our first guest, I guess, Jeanette from Waterloo Region District School Board. Wow.
That was a good guest to have.
Okay.
Just the right amount of guest.
That's right. Yeah. Is there anything else you want to talk about on Decoded this week before you go?
Can I leave you with a think about?
Homework?
No, just a think about. Provocation.
Okay. Drop it.
It's come up more and more and more, is where are the moments where your teacher side and your student side have the most honest conversations with each other? And this extends we've done it from a different space. We do it quite often, our dad sides and our teacher sides, and that edge. But we haven't really dipped our toe too far into, actually, in a lot of ways you have. You've talked it historically, that idea of a student and how that informs you being a teacher. But I'm going into the next week thinking about that kind of actively, where my student and teacher side comes together and what is it that I learn in that space. I'm still doing some reflection coming out of the ASL, that's all. But what I'm doing is I'm posing that to other people as well. So I'm asking other people about what does that moment look like, and if they've ever had that moment.
A tweet yesterday that came from your presentation involved, you asked a question, something about being a parent. Oh, a teacher who is also a parent is a better teacher than a teacher who is not a parent. Something like that came out of one of the sessions you were leading.
I said that I would rather be a parent teacher than a teacher parent. That was the frame. Yeah. But still saying that there's a challenge there of being a parent teacher. Yeah.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for the provocation. And like, unless there's more you want to talk about, I'm good to shut this down. Just
no, because I'm all good, man.
Context.
Yeah, no, I'm all good. I love that we were able to make this happen. This is pretty cool.
Thanks for making it happen. Thanks for being open to it.
So is this the sign off then?
If you want it to be, yeah.
All right. Sounds good, man. So we'll reconnect. I can see the halls. It's funny. I feel the sense of the crowds coming down the hallway a little bit. And it's funny, you know, if you saw a student standing at the edge, down at the end of the hallway, you tend to just kind of walk past them. But I don't think anyone's ever seen this before. Like one of the teachers kind of camped out. I've had a few people say, oh, are you locked out? Like, no, I just need a space.
It's 8:19, so people are probably going now to
the Ignite. Like,
grab their seat, you know, they mm-hmm. want to grab their space.
Yeah. So,
All right. If you check out the Ignites, enjoy.
I will, man. Yeah, I'm going to. I'm going to go. One of them I think I've heard, but the other ones I haven't. So I'm going to go check them out for sure. Grab a coffee and go.
Okay. Have a good one.
Yeah. Thanks for meeting with me, man.
No problem. Anytime. See you, Chris.
Yep.